I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Hey Google, start a timer for 1 hour. And we're back.
What a way!
Hey Google, help us record a podcast.
We're living in the AI age now, guys. The AI age.
Right.
Okay. The AI now.
Yeah.
Did your Google say, is that a cryptid factor hour, Mr. Darby?
Oh, gosh, I hope it hasn't.
Set for 3 human hours.
No, we're trying to do a fast run this time, guys. Welcome to 2024. Yes, indeed. Here we are, back in the game. This is our second episode of the year, brought to you first. We're really screwing with people's minds this year. It's a new concept.
We need to explain that. We have recorded an episode, and this is the next episode we're recording, but we're putting this one out before the first episode that we recorded.
That's
and
right.
Happy New Year. It's February 26th, we should add.
we suddenly realized that we hadn't done anything completely nonsensical for a while. So we thought, hey, why don't we record an episode, not release it, and then record another one and put it out before the one we released where we said, Happy New Year.
Yeah, I can't wait for people to get their Happy New Year around March sometime. we'll be at the second Happy New Year from us. So, yeah, just briefly, the other reason is because there's something in the first show, which is now the second show, which is an exclusive to the world, and it's something that we cannot release yet. I believe you have something to say, Buttons?
Yeah, well, we've got...
This is your big Snoop Dogg moment.
Oh, Snoop, this is a Snoop Dogg moment. Oh, okay, wait, we've got something that we want to drop, but it's not hot. Yeah. No, hang on. How does it go? Drop it like it's not hot.
You do it, Dan. You do it. We'll edit it out.
I just don't want to be associated with it at all. So I'm going
to... I knew he was going
to
ruin it.
No, it's like we've got something to drop, but we've got to wait until it's hot. But it's not yet.
It's not hot enough yet. Yeah.
That's good.
Is that good? Right?
No, you just got to work.
It's simmering.
Just the sort of the way you say things, I think. Yeah, so that'll land. It's basically something we're dropping in the next ep. It's huge. We can't do it yet. So in the meantime, we're back. The reason we've taken so long is because we did that one a long time ago. Like for us, I'm talking, it might have even been in January, actually. But we haven't been able to drop it because there's something in there that's a world exclusive. So right now, here's ep 2, in brackets, ep 1. And where are we? Well, we're in our usual places. Oh, except you, Buttons.
No, I'm in lovely Melbourne, Victoria, in Australia, and I'm having a lovely time being here for the first time in my life. Really?
Really? You haven't been to Melbourne before?
Well, actually, that's not true. I did go once when I was 17 years old to come over to the Phantom of the Opera musical show as a school trip. which is where I fell in love for the very first time. Got my first girlfriend on a trip to Melbourne. Wow. We're going to see Phantom of the Opera. It was a big moment.
That's a big date. As in, you went from New Zealand on a date to see it?
Well, a school trip date, yeah. And then, and then,
Wait, your school paid for this trip?
Well, kind of, my parents kind of did. It was a big thing because my parents didn't have a lot of money, but they thought that maybe going to a musical in Australia was...
Might knock some sense into the guy.
Again, put me on the straight and narrow.
So... Do you meet a girl?
Yeah, from on the school trip.
Oh.
And the sad thing is I got over here and I ate a pasty. First time I've ever eaten a pasty.
Yeah.
So and I got violently ill from it. And so I lay in bed for the entire trip whilst everybody else is touring around Melbourne and seeing the sights and sounds and going to the theme parks and everything. And this pasty that I ate from... Like an old mining town. You know, they have those mining towns where everybody's dressed up.
Oh, there you go. It'll be really old. How old was the pasty? So you went to an old mining town.
A couple hundred years old.
An ancient historical site and found an old pasty and ate it, did you?
I now see the errors in my way.
Yeah.
It was something of a mistake. It was an old pasty. But I missed out on seeing the whole thing, but I came right on the last night when we went to see Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, good. Oh, so you saw it?
Yes, I saw that. That's the only thing I saw of Melbourne.
Wait, was it the Michael Crawford version?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
So Michael Crawford doing Phantom of the Opera. Yeah, because it was all that time ago.
That
when
quiet?
Little boy.
That's incredible.
Yeah. What, now? And I saw, like... The original, the legit.
Slowly, gently, got my arms around you. I had a bit of trouble with the music of the night.
I would have paid more to go to that version. If he hadn't been doing that version, I would have gone.
How has no one done a parody version of him being Frank?
They just did.
Playing
just
Phantom.
Did.
We need to send this audition clip out to Andrew Lloyd Webber and get that made immediately. That was beautiful.
Oh my God, if he would cast me as Frank Spencer doing Phantom of the Opera, I would take that job.
Oh my God.
You'd be incredible.
And I'm free at the moment.
Do you know that, I don't know if I've mentioned it here before, but Phantom of the Opera, obviously biggie for him, and then Andrew Lloyd Webber started doing other shows, but Starlight Express, one of his biggest shows, which is all about... Yeah, I've actually never seen it. Yeah, so that was originally pitched as a Thomas the Tank Engine musical.
No.
And then,
what?
Yeah, and then the rights got taken. He couldn't secure the rights. And so that then morphed into Starlight Express. And if you look at the company name that he has, it's Really Useful Productions or something like that. And Really Useful is what you call Thomas the Tank Engine and the other trains on Sodor.
Oh.
You're a really useful engine, is what the controller would say. Yeah, so that
was
meant to
be... That's cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing!
Yeah.
And it became Starlight Express.
And then other favorite fact is the recent Cats movie that came out.
The terrible one.
Yeah, he hated it so much, he immediately went out and bought a dog. I was like...
Oh, that's funny.
What a way to protest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I can't believe you saw Crawford. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was
cool.
Amazing. And after that show, I was obviously so affected by it. I sat there and looked across the table, and there's this girl called Janelle.
Mm-hmm.
And just we saw each other, looked
shout
across.
Shout out to Janelle.
Shout out to Janelle. Yo, Janelle. And then, but so therefore, I've been to Melbourne. But I've never really seen it because I got sick and was violently ill.
Oh, man.
Well, you're redeeming yourself, with this second visit. Good on you.
Yeah, thank you.
And you were showing us your guns right at the beginning. So you're not only back in Melbourne, but you're at peak physical condition.
Okay, so I was showing you my guns. There they are.
Yep.
Because...
Oh, I see. They're not loaded.
It's actually to get through security.
Are they sawn off shotguns, are they? Those ones.
They're replicas. They're very good replicas. No, I was, I turned 49 the other day and I decided to start going to the gym so that when I turn 50, I can say I'm the most healthiest and best shape I've ever been in.
Good on you. Good on you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm working on it, guys. And I'm glad you noticed my guns. Thank you.
Well, I hate to hurry people along, but we are on a time limit today. So.
We are.
Oh, yeah, we are. Sorry, just super quickly. I've discovered something which is, you know, sometimes you have a thing in your life that just reminds you that mysteries can be everywhere. And every morning I get to see it when I leave my house, because when I walk out the front door, right in front of me is the ocean, and it's about a 4-minute walk to the ocean, and a lot of ships are passing. They're traveling from France, and they're just going around the coast of the UK, and they're massive. I see them, and they're massive, and I always walk down to the coast to go to and walk in the morning, and when I get to the coast, they appear to be at least four times further away. Wow. And so I'm sitting on an angle at a weird pocket of a distance where everything is amplified as if I've got like a magnifying glass.
Really?
It's insane. And I think it's an illusion of the Earth that it tilts it. So in order to see the ship better, I need to walk 4 minutes away from the ocean front. And then I get this amplifier. It's so cool. I show everyone. It's like a magic trick. So
that's, is it a legit thing? Have you researched it?
Yeah. You get these illusions. You get these odd illusions. And it just is one of those magical things that just reminds you perspective is so mysterious.
Wow, that's so cool.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Could you possibly video that? Is it possible to try and...
It doesn't capture it. Yeah.
No. It's
like a cryptid.
Wow.
I can't get a good shot of it.
I'm actually genuinely finding this hard to believe, that you've got an angle that the atmosphere naturally turns into a telescope.
Yeah.
But the video camera doesn't capture it, only the naked eye does. And then you walk 4 minutes closer. And
if I get to your house
smaller.
And there's a giant magnifying glass on your back lawn and you haven't noticed it, I am going to be very angry.
And you haven't researched it to see if it's an actual... There could be some kind of weird vortex or something there that...
Very possible.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, dimensional portals that get reported on the coast of the UK. And I'm now a UK coaster, so yeah.
Wow. Well, hang on. You're also now a druid, so...
Mm.
How's that going, by the way? Any updates?
I haven't been back yet.
I knew it.
But also, this is a challenge, isn't it? There is stuff that we've talked about in the next episode, which was the first episode, we're going to be making reference to. People may not know about the druid. Was that last episode or was that the previous episode?
No, you're right. That's this upcoming second episode.
Tease as well. There's all these teasers for next episode.
You know what that is?
Becoming a druid?
That's a back tease.
Back tease. Actually, no.
Took about a minute and a half to even try and get that. Okay, let's move on to the first segment. Come on, guys.
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy. Freaky. Watch out.
Bunch of weird news, isn't there? What do you guys got?
I'll jump in. Yuri Geller has claimed that one of the Apollo astronauts and one of the people who basically got us to the moon took him to a secret room in NASA and showed him an alien body.
Wow.
What?
I've heard this.
He's been tweeting away about it, and I just think anytime Yuri brings something up, we got to bring it to the table.
You've got to bring it to the table. Yeah, I agree.
The Yuri table.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, so mine is mystery in Alabama as entire 200-foot radio tower is stolen by thieves.
Wow.
Did you have that one, Button?
This on purpose. This is a call forward to the next episode as well, because you did this in the last episode, which is going to be the next episode, and then you just did it again. What the shit?
I didn't do that news in the last one. That's the next one.
No, but you stole my news in the last one.
Oh, right. Wow. Yeah.
This is okay.
That was confusing. I thought you meant he did the story.
No.
So maybe you accessed a third episode that we haven't made yet that Reese has repeated the story in.
Yeah. That one's coming in a couple of years' time. No, I had that news, but thank goodness I've got backup news. It was actually wanted to be my first news, but I thought it was just a little bit too gross to have as news. But now you've forced me into the gross news. And the headline is simply, doctors remove 150 live bugs from Florida man's nose.
Wow. Oh, well, that's quite impressive. They must be pretty small bugs. You sure he didn't just have a cold?
No. Well, he thought he did. I mean, we'll go into it later. We'll go through just the headlines. But also, as a supplementary headline to that, the inaugural Florida Man Games have just been played. And looking to become an Olympic event by the next Olympics.
Oh, wow.
No, I made the last bit up. But you all know about the Florida Man thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The ethos.
They've now turned it into an actual competition. And so I'll run you through that.
Oh, great. Shortly,
but they've just been played.
That's amazing.
One of the events is how many bugs can you fit up your nose?
Ah, right. Well, that links into your new story.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is that a separate thing?
That's a separate thing.
Okay, you go, Dan.
Okay, so Uri Geller, he's taken to Twitter to release a new claim, or what he would just call story of something that happened in his life, where he claims that he went to NASA and he was shown around by Edgar Mitchell. So Edgar Mitchell was one of the astronauts for the Apollo missions, I think Apollo 15, sixth man to stand on the moon. An interesting cookie in his own right. He performed telepathy tests when he was on his way to the moon with two other guys who were called Ed, who were back on Earth at the same time. When he landed back on Earth, he became quite a proponent of bizarre things, bizarre methods. I believe when he was sick, he had treatment for his cancer by having a teenager across America beam positive thoughts at him and so on. So he's very much in the world of believing in the paranormal and all sorts of occultish kind of stuff. So supposedly him and literally the guy who took us to the moon, Wernher von Braun, this is the guy who was a former Nazi who came over to America, basically built the rockets. Apparently, Geller was visiting them at a base and he was taken to a concrete building. And they made him put on a orange Antarctic suit that had a circular blue NASA logo on it. And then he said it was like a hospital. And then he went into this room and he saw what he claimed was heavy glass containers. And lying inside them, they were sort of transparent. He saw that in these see-through coffins were little aliens.
Wow.
And he's been sitting on that story for... I don't know how many years now, but
it was a slow news week. He's going back into the archives.
Interesting.
Yeah. The thing about Geller is quite often his stories have lots of truth about them. You know, time and time again, journalists have kind of like John Ronson, when he said that he was hired by the CIA to try and use what's it called, remote viewing, and try to stop, you know, goats' hearts and stuff. It turned out that, yeah, he was brought in by them in order to do that. So he's a guy who was asked to do weird things and shown weird things. And when you're talking Edgar Mitchell, I can't work out what Braun's kind of vibe was, but this is very much in the wheelhouse of Edgar Mitchell.
Mm. Yeah. I'll just interrupt by saying the best storytellers, their tales have nuggets of truth in them and have details that cannot be denied. And so the listener concentrates on those details and finds that those facts are undeniable, and therefore you can flourish the rest and you are along for the ride, and so you're more likely to believe it. So I think there's something in that. And when you was just in the details of, like, the, for example, why would he put on an orange Antarctic suit to go down into a room? Was it freezing?
I'm not sure, because he's basically given us this one tweet as a... I'm just Googling it now.
Oh, it's just based on one tweet.
Yeah, I'm just seeing if there's any other mentions. Maybe he's written a thread since, so I'm just bringing it up.
I'm also wondering whether that is connected to the theory that there are extraterrestrials in the Antarctica, and that NASA has gone on, you know, a mission down there. The US government definitely has, to find what's beneath the ice.
Yeah,
because there's lots of theories of stuff being down there.
Yeah.
The thing I love looking up Uri Geller news, there's a headline there that says, Uri Geller says, I still blow my own mind, which is a nice...
So, now that's a t-shirt. So that's,
you kind of wonder whether he wakes up and goes, that's right, I saw aliens at NASA once. God, I blow my own mind sometimes. Jeepers.
How's it going? Uri Geller, self-mind blower. How are you?
It's nice to blow your own mind every now and then, isn't it? Just, do a bit of a clear out, blow out, you know.
I did see a video of him somewhere that he was talking about this, Dan, where he does say that he's seen alien body. I mean, it's difficult with this guy. He's always had a life of getting headlines, of being popular, being in the media for his tricks and his abilities, the bending of the spoons and what have you. And I think when you get used to that, it's hard to not be famous. And so I think he keeps doing stuff to keep himself in the headlines, to because, you know, he wakes up, he's a self-mind blower, so he can't wake up in the morning and not see a headline about himself. If he doesn't have one, he'll have to add one somewhere because, you know, if no one else is going to blow your mind, you might as well blow your own.
Well, that's maybe the problem with him. He's like, man, everybody is so boring in this world, and everybody has the joy of having their minds blown by me, but who's blowing my mind? Nobody's blowing my mind. So he's actually just taken
I'll do it. Muggins here to do it. Yeah, exactly. So he said supposedly this was in the Goddard Space Flight Center, which is 10 kilometers northeast of Washington, D.C. They have a refrigerated room deep down below the center there. Yeah, hence the Antarctic suit. I find him so fascinating, and I actually just enjoy it. I think a lot of people get really annoyed by it.
No, I enjoy it, of course. But, I mean, when they go down there, do they say, okay, phones down, put your phones away, nothing, okay, and when you come down and see this stuff, you're not to talk about it for 30 years. But when you do, go ahead and do a self-mind blow. I'm not worried about that, but make sure you give it at least 30 years, okay? We don't want this coming out.
Yeah, so Von Braun is the person that's dating this for us because he would have died in, let's see, he died in
the
1977.
Ah, late 70s, yeah.
Yeah, so this will have happened in the early 70s, basically.
And you attach him to your story and people's ears prick up because he was such a major dude back then, you know, the godfather of rockets and getting us into space and whatnot. And
you know what I've just found?
Yeah.
But they're not released until October the 8th of 2024, but Yuri Geller is actually publishing 52 divination cards, and it's called the Extraterrestrial Oracle, and he's releasing these 52 divination cards to channel the wisdom of the aliens, and he is saying that these divination cards will be able to predict when aliens are going to come down and make first contact with humans.
Oh, it just sounds like his own tarot cards that he's trying to put out there. It
basically is.
Another money-making scheme.
It is.
Send me the link. I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. I'm ordering them. Well, we're going to have to use them on October the 8th. We're going to have to record a podcast and actually have a hoon on them.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
It says the cards will help you use the power of your mind to connect with them, the aliens, hone your psychic powers and unlock your submerged potential. Whether you're looking for a fun gift for a friend or a tool to further your spiritual journey, these cards will amaze you through the insights they bring.
Yeah. I like how he undermines the entire power of what they're capable of by going, and also it could be just a fun gift for your friend. I thought I was summoning extraterrestrials from another world.
No, having a bit of fun with your friends. Listen,
no, you might do, or you might just have a bit of a laugh.
What do you imagine doing that? You're accidentally just having a bit of fun with your friends, and then all of a sudden you summoned a bunch of aliens into the room with you. You're like, oh, sorry, guys. Oh,
what are you guys doing here? We saw that you guys had the cards out. We're hoping it wasn't going to be like this, but yeah, the cards were produced, and so we had to come through here. We thought that would be a fun gift for your friends, but we couldn't help but come down once we saw the cards had come out.
I see you're making margaritas there. If you wouldn't mind sharing some of those with us alien types, that would be great. Thank you. You're just coming down to join our party, aren't you? No, you called us.
You got the cards out. You put the cards away, Nigel. I told you this was going to happen. It's embarrassing.
They're going to take all our tequila.
I haven't got enough glasses for these weirdos. All right, well, get this, guys. There has been a massive theft, probably one of the biggest I've ever heard about. Imagine stealing a 200-foot radio tower.
Okay.
I mean, I can't even imagine.
What a great story. How'd you find that story?
Over the course of a single evening or subtly over? Wow.
A radio station in Jasper was silenced earlier this month when its radio tower mysteriously disappeared overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the general manager, Brett Elmore, received a phone call from a member of a landscaping crew on the morning, February 2nd, and he couldn't believe what he was hearing. The worker, who had visited the site of the radio station's 200-foot tower to conduct maintenance, explained that the entire tower was simply not there. It had been completely disappeared. When he arrived, he called me on Friday and said, "The tower's gone." Elmore, I said, "What do you mean the tower's gone? Are you sure that you might not be in the right place, are you?" He said, "No, the tower's gone. There are wires everywhere and it's gone. Tower's completely gone."
That's mad.
200-foot tower. So sure enough, someone had seemingly made off with the entire thing, and although Elmore filed a police report, it doesn't look as though the tower is likely to be recovered anytime soon.
The funny thing there is when I read this story, the one thing that they're not talking about is that you just don't take a tower overnight, right? It's not something that you just go 200-foot tower. It's going to take a long time to assemble and truck out of there and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How long were they broadcasting for with nobody listening for them to be able to take the tower away? I think that these guys were on the air for like a couple of months broadcasting to absolutely nobody until somebody went out on the six-monthly check of the tower and they go, "No, it's gone. It looks like it's actually been gone for about 4 months. Have you guys been like broadcasting to nobody? Is that? No. Is it like, imagine getting home, like your wife for the last 4 months has been saying, "Oh, it's a great show tonight. No, I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
And they go, turns out you haven't been able to listen to us for 4 months. The tower's been gone. Oh, I must have been listening to somebody who sounds a lot like you then."
Love the new show. Loving it, guys. Listening to it. Oh, so good.
"No, you haven't, because I took the tower down about 4 months ago and I've caught you out. I've caught you out, Mildred."
Oh, shit. I can't stand the show, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You've been listening to that bullshit cryptic factor, haven't you? Bloody hell. They don't need a 200-foot tower. They use that newfangled internet, don't they?
Not anymore, not with our new 200-foot tower that I managed to just purchase online.
That's crazy. £3,500 of steel is what that was. That is nuts.
It's also gone down as a federal crime, so whoever stolen it are really in the shit. Yeah, because you can't just do that. And I was under the impression the tower was just at where the station was, Buttons. Do you think it was like in another location?
No, they would be in a different location. They usually have them out all the way out in the countryside.
Right.
And that's, have you seen that? There's that movie of those two girls climbing up the tower and getting stuck up the very top. I imagine it's something like that.
Mm. It's gigantic. And it's just bizarre that because it would take a team of people. And as you say, trucks, much equipment, and I mean, you'd be pushing it to do it overnight.
Yeah.
And also, what do you then do with it? Are you going to sell it? Or is it a rival station that didn't have a tower, and then all of a sudden next week
they've
got a tower, their reception's going really well, clear as day.
You know, I used to be a radio technician, and I used to have to drive out to radio towers and go up and service them. I used to be that guy that would have turned up to see whether or not the tower was still there.
Oh, so this is why you wanted that story, didn't you?
Yeah, it resonated with me.
High would you climb? Would you go like to the top of the towers, like you see in those?
Oh, yeah, definitely, right to the top, yeah. But the one thing is that this is in New Zealand, so things are a little bit smaller in New Zealand. Our towers were about, you know, kind of like a decent-sized wooden pole out of the ground. So probably about 6 meters.
Right.
Okay.
And I climbed all the way to the top. I was very brave.
Well, you're also forgetting that I used to be a telecommunications electronics operator in the Royal New Zealand Signals Corps.
Yes.
And I used to put up giant antennas as well. So that's why I took the story,
because
I was paid, you know, to put these giant antennas up. And the biggest ones we made, I think, for Operation Signet Globe. And we're talking 200 feet high.
Operation Signet Globe. Did you just give away some military secrets? No. Operation Signet Globe. Is that where you had to find the commander's signet ring that he lost? It was somewhere on the globe.
It was somewhere on the globe, and you had to only use giant antennas to find it.
The New Zealand military are put to very good use at
times. Was back in 1992 or something, yeah.
Wow.
So I think it's been declassified now.
How far we've come.
How would you guys, as radio technicians, what would be your move? How would you steal this? Would you dismantle it? Would you lift it in the air, like with a helicopter?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, first of all, let's see if you can actually lift the whole thing up. Normally, it would probably fall apart, but see how it's well secured down on the bottom, because if you can just release it from the earth, then, yeah, the easiest way would be to use a helicopter and some straps to just lift it straight up. You pull it from the wires, just take the whole thing away in a helicopter and then just gently put it down where you want it. The other way is obviously use a team and dismantle the whole thing, but that will take, honestly, you're looking at a good 2 or 3 days work there.
But the other thing that I don't get is that normally these huge big towers don't just have one radio station broadcasting from it. They use them for broadcasting lots of different antenna and all that on it, unless it's an AM transmitter, which means it's just one AM frequency.
Yeah, but you're thinking of New Zealand once again, where everyone shares and oh, can I borrow your tower, bro?
The 1 6-meter tower. The 1 6-meter tower's got 500 different radio stations.
Apparently there's precedence to this. So it happens a fair bit in America. So in 2021, police in Dothan arrested a man who'd stolen a 30-foot aluminium trailer with a collapsible radio tower that reached up to 100 feet.
Wow.
That's a lot of feet for a trailer. And then there's another one, a 75-foot steel radio tower stolen. So it's obviously there must be people who've got a little booklet telling you how to do it.
Well, here's the other thing that leads me to my next thought. I think these kind of things could be being pinched by
aliens.
I don't know.
AI?
By AI? No. By aliens? No. By doomsday preppers. Okay, so we're talking about these people who are setting up areas because they're worried that the world's going to end. EMP attacks, cyber attacks, things like that. The internet's going to go down. But ham radio is how we're going to be communicating with each other. So if you've got some sort of secret base of other redneck Republicans that have built bunkers, and you might want to have a stolen radio tower so that you communicate with whoever else. You know, we've all seen The Last of Us.
That's true. That's a very good point, because that is, they say, the old radio frequencies, good old proper AM and FM is going to come back, or ham radio, like you say. Mm. You can use that technology. You're not relying on satellites, not relying on this technology, which is super complicated. It's really quite fundamentally simple.
Yeah. Radio waves.
Radio waves. But also the challenges, a lot of those are microwave links and stuff, which can fry you. Whenever I used to have to climb up the pole, you had to make sure everything was shut off because there's really highly concentrated microwave links. So
why have I got an image of you climbing up there with oven mitts on?
Well, no, I had to. Oven mitts were part of my kit.
And even worse, the two that are connected, you know. So you've got the oven mitts and they've got connected with that bit in the middle, and you're like climbing up a tower. Oh, I'm just getting up here. I'm going to be okay.
The hardest part was the apron, because they keep flapping up. And,
the apron and all that.
That was tough. But great way to cook your sausages. You just have to put it up very carefully.
Send a signal now. Send a signal now. I've got your sausage ready.
Well, then you were just saying that maybe somebody getting around that small town where the tower was stolen with microwave burns.
Yes, that's another one for the detectives. There you go. Microwave burns, doomsday prepper cults. Those are the places you guys should be looking.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
Just a quick FYI. Okay, well, in the fact that we've got probably very limited time left, how much, what's the Google timer say?
23.
23 minutes left or 23 minutes in?
Oh, left. Come on, you're wasting time.
Okay, sorry, I just had to check. Well, we've still got crypto news to do, so I'm just going to do my news really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a Florida man. Everybody knows Florida man. We've had Florida man stories on the Cryptid Factor for a long time. I remember one of the first ones was that naked guy who jumped on a homeless man and started eating his face because he was high on bath salts.
That's probably the only one I can remember.
The guy, the homeless man, survived, but the cops, it took them something like around two clips of bullets to actually take this guy down. And he died, sadly, but it was crazy. And then, I remember another one. There was the Florida man that built the rat wheel or whatever, that big floating thing, and he went in to try and get the way all the way up somewhere, and he went ended up, you know, a couple of kilometers
rescuing
back.
Him.
The big floating rat wheel. He kept getting, and then didn't he get rescued like every year?
He keeps trying. He's probably trying again. Well, there's two stories. One, a legit Florida man story, just to set the scene. A Florida man had he didn't even know. He went to the doctor saying, "Man, I keep getting these blood noses." And he would get up to go to the bathroom and his nose would start bleeding and his face was getting a little bit swollen. So he went to the doctor. The doctor started doing a scan and the doctor says, "I think I can see movement." And he goes in there, puts a camera up his nose, and finds a whole nest full of these bugs. And a little bit of I should have put a trigger warning at the start. If you don't like gross stuff, then just fast forward a couple of minutes. But they had 150 bugs they extracted from his nose. Some of them as big as the doctor's pinky finger.
What?
No, come on. How big is this guy's nose?
Just the nail, the fingernail on the pinky, he says. God. He said over
that's
a couple
massive.
Of hours.
150.
150, he said. Over a couple of hours, my face just started swelling. My lips swelled. I could hardly talk, the patient told First Coast News. I couldn't even get up to go to the bathroom. My nose starting to bleed. He went to the hospital. They found all of these bugs feeding on the nose and sinus cavity. Some of as big as the end of his pinky. So there you go.
I don't know about this. I've got a video.
Do you want
to, let's see.
I'm going to show you.
I notice when there's a hair out of place in my nostril.
I know. Tell me about it. Okay, here we go. I'm going to show you video. It says, viewer discretion advised, graphic images from the operating room.
Oh, dear.
Here we go.
Oh, wow.
Are you ready for this?
Holy shit.
That was a horror movie.
Horrendous.
That's what I'm saying, a trigger warning, guys.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you.
There's a time
amazing.
For breakfast yet.
All right. I think we should move on to the cryptids now.
Let's leave it at that.
We're not going any further there. Okay, it's time for Cryptid Buzz.
That was so bad.
Thank God this is an audio podcast and not a
Oh my God.
See, I'm telling you, that's what was going on. He had no idea.
They look like the image of a Mongolian death worm, that sort of baby one. Tiered shelling. It's like, wow.
Oh, I don't feel good anymore. I hadn't seen that myself. That was the first time I saw that myself as well. I'm feeling a little bit. I wish I hadn't seen that.
God, I wish I'd given you the bloody radio tower story now. My bad. Absolutely my bad. Okay. Let's move on.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the last time I'm stealing news off you.
From you. The final part of that story and the nicer part, just to end on a nice part, is the advent and the inaugural Florida Man Games have just been held, which is super exciting. They've got a whole bunch of competitions and stuff, really basically to celebrate their own meme, I guess, and to be in on the joke themselves. Exactly. So some of the games that they've got are things like Eat the Butt Challenge, where it's like an eating competition, but you're eating pork butt platter.
Going to finish. I had a different image in mind. Okay, fine.
Yes, same. Weaponized pool noodle mud duel.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, you've got evading arrest obstacle course, where you got to jump over fences, through backyards, and away from actual police officers.
I love that.
I know.
Yeah.
There's a Category 5 cash grab where you've got to try and do cash grab in a Category 5 wins.
I'm sorry. I don't know about this. This is Florida Man. This is Florida Man. It should be competitions where it's like first to get their penis stuck in a vacuum cleaner.
Exactly.
But it can't be anything where they'll get sued or something will go horrifically wrong, can they? So they've got to draw the line.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like lame Florida Man, isn't it, I guess?
Lame Florida Man. But there's things like stealing. You've got to steal a catalytic converter, two bikes, and a handful of copper pipes.
Ooh.
That's quite fun. I mean, it's funny. Yeah. I'd quite like to go and compete, I tell you this much.
Yeah.
Well, you could certainly out someone capable of stealing a 200-foot tower in that event.
Yeah. Get the helicopter in. I'll do the noise.
So, anyway.
Oh, Davey's got the helicopter in. Look how you got to take this one.
Let's go. So, but that's exciting. They're starting to
Florida
own
sumo.
It,
so. Yeah, it looks fun. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's no one eating anyone's face off, but...
That's not yet. It's just the inaugural one. When we get to the Olympic level stuff, that's when you got to start getting.
You'd be so proud of your dad. It took 40 bullets to kill him after he ate that man's face off.
40 bullets. Oh, that's good. That's typical Gordon.
Always the champion. Well, no longer.
Did he have any bugs in his nose? Oh, God. Yes, he did.
Yeah, please don't look up the bugs in the nose video. You don't want to see it. It's not good. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Cryptid buzz, guys. Yeah.
Let's go.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Oh, help me.
So I got sent a story over Instagram.
Oh.
Good place if anyone wants to bung any stories over. My Instagram is always ready to receive them. It's Eric Wilson who sent it to me. And he said, Dan, Bigfoot sighting in Utah high up on the mountain face. So he sent a video. It's genuinely quite interesting. You know, I'm not good enough to know whether something's CGI or something. But Buttons, I've sent the video to you. So
yeah,
if you could.
Here it comes.
Okay. I'm looking at a mountainside.
It's a mountainside. It says, a Bigfoot captured with spotting telescope running in deep snow up Wasatch Mountain Peak.
And I would give it some volume as you play it.
Okay, here we go.
We were sent the following footage by a person that goes by John. It was filmed on one of the mountain peaks along the Wasatch Front mountain range. The guys that filmed it were down in the valley, 4,200 feet elevation,
so look at the bottom,
and zoomed in on a peak
9,000
feet elevation. They did their best to film this creature running horizontal, then vertical up the steep, snow-swept mountainside using a spotting telescope and holding the lens of the camera up to the viewfinder. It was almost a mile higher
it's
than the guys
too
filming
quickly.
It.
Yeah. Like it's almost running on concrete, not snow.
Yeah, so quick.
Yeah, because that far away as well, you would expect it to be moving a lot slower.
But does that look legit?
It does. I mean, it looks... No, I don't know if it looks legit.
It does look a bit CGI-y.
Yeah, it does.
Little figure going
because
across.
You'd see some sort of track behind it, but there's nothing. No, I'm not believing this. I can see a shadow behind it, but there's you'd see a tiny bit of a trail if you walking through the snow.
The only thing is that it does get exactly blurrier at the same time that because the range finding on the video is going in and out of focus.
It would be hard to fake that, wouldn't it?
It would. Yeah, it would. Really would.
Oh, there we go. Oh, that's good stuff. Good stuff.
Oh,
good stuff.
Dun, dun, dun.
So there we go. If you want to check that out yourself, it's a Bigfoot captured with spotting telescope running in deep snow up a Wasatch mountain peak. Are you zooming in yourself there, Buttons?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your honest opinion there out of, you know, percentage-wise?
I was doubting at first because the shadow of the thing is just so sharp and so kind of looks almost fake. But then if you look at the shadows of the trees, they look really fake as well.
They're very dark.
And I have in the past held my camera on my phone up to a telescope, and it is very hard to do because your camera's trying to focus and it ends up doing exactly what has happened there. So it feels very believable the way that they've filmed through a telescope.
Right.
It's just the thing that makes me doubt it is just how fastest moving for such a small little...
It's so quick. And too smooth. It doesn't look like there's a gate. It just looks like it's sliding.
The smoothness is interesting. But imagine if it really was like, you know, 8 foot plus.
Yeah,
it had really long legs. Yeah. And it was just the legs were coming up. And it was just, you know, they don't move like a human does because they're just so much better at being in nature. And they're bigger. And they have massive muscles. So, you know, we're pretty dreadful at trying to get through snow. But that's the first time I've ever seen a Sasquatch going through the snow.
Snow,
it's not something that we ever see, is it?
No.
So intriguing. But, yeah, looking at it there, it looks off, doesn't it?
It does. But also that's that whole thing of you kind of going, it's broad daylight running across the snow. Mm. You know, for nocturnal animals... For something like this, it's like seeing a hedgehog during the middle of the day, right? You kind of go, that's not right. They're normally running around at nighttime. And you kind of go, well, where is it running to? It's sort of like
I don't think they're strictly nocturnal.
No, true.
What I'm thinking here is to its advantage is that, you know, if you were going to fake a Bigfoot video, you wouldn't do one on the distant snow cap. Oh, you can see it's a humanoid figure. Look at the figure of it. I mean, and it's there's no way a man could do that. So that's intriguing as hell. I would say you're looking at a 75% at least possibility there.
I'd say so too.
All right. Now moving on to, let's do Alien Big Cat because I've got one here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Women Films exotic black cat prowling around a field in Scotland.
Ooh.
Captured footage near Kirriemuir Angus shows a dark-coloured animal walking through tall grass. So let's have a look, a little bit of backstory. Most recently, a woman from Scotland captured footage of what could be a large black cat wandering through some grass next to tennis courts outside her home in the Scottish Highlands. The 71-year-old was quite shocked by the encounter and believes that it may have been something exotic. So let's share. Let's get me sharing. How do we do that?
You just hit the share button down the bottom. Share
screen. No, I'm not interested. So how do we... Hang on, sorry. No, I'm going to do that now. Here we go. Share screen. You know, I remember when they invented computers and they said to me... Hey, listen, we've got something here that you're not going to understand, but it is going to revolutionize the world. And I said, not interested. Okay, I'm a pen and pencil guy. No pads. Slate.
You're more a slate and chalk kind of fella.
Yeah. No, I've completely lost it now. I can't even find the share button. Oh, I can move that around. No, but there's nothing there.
Now you've gone, you've switched off your video. You've gone.
Am I?
We can't even see. There
now,
he is.
Now I'm back again. Share host disabled participant screen sharing.
Oh, here we go. Try it
That's
now.
That's the big issue.
I just didn't trust you. You might share something of like some bugs up a nose or something like that. I just can't be trusted now.
All right. Check this out, guys.
Oh, wow. So we're looking at a field out the back of somebody's house. There's sort of like an empty section, an empty lot.
There you go.
Wow. And there is a really sizable cat.
Sort of through a fence in the distance.
Yeah.
Covered in overgrowth of, what are we saying?
Grass.
Grass, yeah.
And, but it definitely looks like a large cat, very large cat.
Let's see it again.
Okay. Oh, now you're asking the impossible.
Oh, no, that was just at the end of the vid.
God. And they always put such, you know, dramatic music on.
I know.
Which you don't need.
Just you really don't need.
People out there, if you do film something, you know, and you want to put it on the internet or whatever, don't add ridiculous paranormal music or something like that. Because the first thing we think as experienced cryptozoologists is when we watch something like that, we go, oh, no. You know, because you're trying to make it more dramatic.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Don't need that anymore. Those old TV shows of like, dun, dun, dun. Did he see it or did he not? It's not that. Mm. Those days are over now. We can just play it scientifically.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's it for that.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. So what are we saying? That's a big cat in, where is it in the UK?
It's a big cat. That one is, it's in Scotland. Basically, woman claims saw a big cat bigger than a Labrador, she says. Now, that's the giveaway, okay, because it's just too big. And you can see the bulk of that cat from that video, that it definitely is outside the range of your domestic moggy. She went outside for a closer look, watched it as it prowled around the now closed tennis courts near her home in Angus, Scotland. My first thought was that, look at the size of that cat, and what a long tail, and how big it was. Ooh. So those are the things you're looking for, how the basic size, the tail size, which, you know, big cats have big, thick, long tails, and this is what this one had. So she, you know, it's pretty good filming. Bigger than a Jack Russell dog, she also says. She thought it was longer than a Labrador dog, but not as high.
We're getting too many dogs in her description.
Yeah. Yeah, when it comes to greyhounds, this is what you're looking at, she says. No. But it certainly was not a dog. But yeah, it's just another credible sighting. If you go down to the comments, you've got house cat, I know. One is asleep on my lap right now. Someone else has commented, meow, and then someone's commented, lol and lol. So those are the comments there. Honestly, there's five comments, and I've read the top three. I'm tempted to add a comment.
What do you guys think of the big cat situation in the UK? Like, where do you think they are residing? Because are they displaying different behaviors?
They're out in the wild. They're real.
Yeah, so... Are there a lot of them? Are there...
Yeah, I mean, they're breeding in some way, shape or form, but mostly I think they're cats on their own that have been that way. They can roam. You know, cats are incredible survivors and they can walk for miles and miles and find a place. They can sleep anywhere. Mm. They hunt at night and they are the number one cryptid in the UK because they're definitely there. They've been eyewitnessed many times. Very hard to catch. I don't know if you've ever lost your own domestic moggy at home. It's happened to me, and Bumbles has taken off out the back, and there's just no way I'm getting him back. I wouldn't see him for half the day because they hide under things.
I was going to say they are predator animals, and being incognito and hiding,
that's
getting ready
how they
to
prefer
pounce,
to be.
That's their natural ability. So hiding and actually being undetectable is second nature to them.
That is literally what they do. It's like you go up to the invisible man and you say, how come you can stay invisible? What's the story there? And he'll just go, well, that's what I am, isn't it? I'm invisible.
Okay.
That's not a great analogy.
How are you seeing him to talk to him? Is he wearing a hat?
Can I just ask you to put the hat on for a minute? Oh, God, you're way over there. No wonder the sound's not working. Keith, he's about 100 yards away. Who are you talking to? I don't know.
Can you just stay in one spot, please? Please.
You were sitting here a minute ago. Well, yeah, no, I got bored, ran off. Well, fuck, can you bloody tell me, because we're in the middle of an interview here. Keep the top hat on. Right, now. Oh, I can see the hat moving. He's gone again. He's gone in that car. Oh, he's dropped the hat. He's either dropped the hat or he's diminished in size.
Now, if you just tell me how you stay invisible for a second, please. I get asked, what a hat question. What a hat question. God, I thought I was going to have a good conversation here. It's like, how can I go invisible?
That's the only thing everyone wants to talk to me about. Ooh, why can't I see you? Well, you know,
it's either that or how often do you go to the woman's toilet to watch people?
Like, yeah, I did that for the first couple of years, but I'm over
those questions, two questions, all the time. Why would I want to go into the woman's changing room? Why
doesn't anyone ask me about my hat collection?
Everybody wants to know how I do it, and they presume I'm a pervert. Why? Why?
So wait a minute. We've got to discuss the fact that you must be naked right now, yeah? Don't touch me. Don't touch me. You know, this is what people want to know.
It's really disturbing. It's almost as disturbing as bugs
up
a nose.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, we shall depart. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We are definitely back. It's 2024. We can't wait for you to listen Well, am I giving a little bit of something secret away there?
Oh.
To our first episode, which will be coming out next week.
This is going to be such a challenge because now what are we going to call these episodes? Is this one here episode 88 or whatever it is,
oh,
and the
yes.
next one 87, mm. or is it 80? Mm. Like, how? What are we? This is going to be real confusing. People.
No, I think that's right. I think we keep the numbers wrong. Yeah, this is 88.
We keep the numbers wrong.
And that'll actually bring people, because we're going to get a whole bunch of new people come to the site and come to the Spotify's and look at the numbers and figure out.
So this one's going to be 89. Right, so this is episode 89.
Okay.
Yeah. And the next one's 88.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Okay. That's got
really confusing. That's
probably
really
have to
confusing.
Do a press release about that too. Mm. Okay.
Well, we're very excited. We're very, very excited. 2024 is going to kick off. Well, actually, it's kicking off really averagely with bugs up noses, but it's going to be followed after the kickoff. With something really exciting. I'm so excited. I'm genuinely really excited to get what we've got out there. And it's worth waiting for. Mm. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
I'm just going to put my clothes on and grab me top hat. I've got another interview in a minute.
No, you're going to take your clothes off. Not put them on. Take them off. Come on. Okay, well, guys, we'll see you in a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting.
The time traveling episode. Like,
finally.
Yeah, can't wait to already have talked to you.
About all those things. I can't wait for everybody to find out about Dan being a druid.
Oh my god, yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, gosh.
And that's not even the most exciting bit.
Imagine if that's why we're holding off the other episode. Well, I'm just going to wait and see whether or not Dan really is a druid.
It's actually a massive letdown because we've already found out that he didn't follow through with it.
I know!
So apologies there.
Yeah. It's the worst reveal ever.
It's a back reveal.
A back reveal, yeah.
Is there a punchline that we can give here? A punchline to a joke and then put the setup in the next episode?
Yeah.
It's too late. It's recorded.
This whole episode has been the punchline.
Yeah. That's true.
Let's hope the setup is worth it.
All right.
Okay. Well, I've got to go back to Melbourne. I've got to go back. Do you know where I'm actually staying here? Whilst in Melbourne, I'm staying in a haunted prison that's been turned into a hotel.
Mm,
so I've got to go back. I'm going to go ghost hunting.
Oh, wow. Cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, record something for us.
Yeah, I will.
We've got a YouTube channel now, so we need to put some stuff
up. Good point.
Oh, yes. Oh, great. I can get my footage of my giant ships.
No, you can't get the footage of your giant ships because you can't build it.
I want you to at least attempt it and we'll put that up on the YouTube channel.
It's like, no, he's just zoomed in.
Please
he's
get a magnifying glass and put it in front of your phone when you get to the backyard of your property. I can't wait to see that.
Oh my god, the dumbest videos
ever.
Okay,
this is what you can do, Dan.
Yeah.
Get some video footage through the phone, which won't show it zoomed in.
Yeah.
But then zoom in on the camera to what it looks like with the naked eye.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I'll film it tomorrow and I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
It's potentially the dullest video ever of a normal size looking shit through my camera and me going, gosh, it's massive. Look at that.
And also, don't put it out on the YouTube channel before this episode comes out because people are going to be like, oh my god, what is this bullshit?
He's lost it. See, can you see the ship there? That's how big it actually is. But this is how big it looks to me right now.
Now I'm going to walk to the seafront. Just hang with me for 4 minutes. Right, here we are. Look at that. Tiny.
Normal size ship. I told you. Nobody believed me.
I'll be back. More anomalies next week.
I reckon what Dan's trying to do, he's actually realised the mortgage on his new house is a lot more than he thought, and he needs supplementary income, and he's going to charge people £5 a go to have a look through the giant magnifying glass that he's hidden. Yeah. Hidden in the garden shed.
Yeah, I'll lead tours. I'll have tourists come and visit. Right. It's a 4-minute tour. We'll start here.
It was just like every time a ship sails past, there's going to be about 200 people stood at Dan's place, all kind of going, oh, there's a little bit bigger.
It's a bit bigger, isn't it? It's a bit bigger. Look at that. Oh my god. Yeah, what's this giant bloody tower? Has this got anything to do with it? What's this radio tower doing here?
He's brought
the glass on the top of it.
And that, hang on, is that Buttons out there in a little rowboat with a big fold-out ship, isn't it?
Yeah. Fold-out ship.
He's only 2 meters off the shore.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.